Our telephone lines, they are open to you right now. If you've got a question for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, the telephone number is to get on the air and join us, 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. Joined this week by C.J. Kloss and Josh Sterling. As mentioned, they are retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. You can learn more about Kloss Financial on their website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. Without any further ado, CJ, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing really good. Great to have you along. Josh, welcome back to the show. Great to talk with you. How's your day so far?
Oh, good morning, Sean. The sun's shining and it is beautiful here in Madison.
It is a fantastic day, and we've got an important conversation, a great conversation ahead about when it comes to appropriate asset allocations, when it comes to your portfolio and kind of putting that together. We're going to get the details from CJ and Josh in just a moment. As mentioned, phone lines are open, 608-321-1310. That's 321-1310. We'll get you on the air and learn more about Kloss Financial, their website, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com, and their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Another really cool thing we do on the show each and every week is the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, your chance to win a fantastic prize. This week is no exception. A little bit later on the program, you'll have a chance to win a $25 gift card to Cabela's. Little tip, listen closely to the program mostly every single week. The answer and question come up during the show. Give yourself a little bit of leg up on the competition. I'll tell you exactly how you can win that a little bit later on the program. Before we get rolling on this week's conversation, let's actually take a look back at last week's show and get the question and answer to the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week.
Yeah, well, thanks everyone for listening, and congrats to our winner from last week, which was Lisa of Verona. Lisa correctly answered the question, which was, in the U.S., what percentage of Americans choose cremation over burial in 2023? And it was multiple choice. Was it 40% or 60% that choose cremations? And Lisa correctly answered 60%. So listen closely this week, because typically both the question and answer come up during the show, and you could be like Lisa and win a little prize.
And if you missed last week's program, it was a very, very interesting and very informative conversation about afterlife planning and, of course, preparing and being, in, of course, having things prepared for your family to really reduce the burden. But really interesting show there. You can always listen back to this and previous shows podcast at klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Their telephone number is 608-442-5637. I know a big part of what you guys do is clients is retirement planning. We kind of working through and helping them find their appropriate asset allocation for their portfolios. Is that right, CJ? Save me, my friend.
That's right. Just make sure you add on the ET there. This is not, this is asset allocation, Sean.
Yes.
So we do. A big part of what we do is we sit down and help people plan for retirement. So that includes things like life expectancy and estate planning and tax planning and projecting if they've saved enough to live off of. But within all of that, there becomes this reality of like, all right, well, you're telling me I can retire, but a huge component of my ability to remain retired will be how well I can invest my dollars and manage risk throughout the next 20, 30, 40 years of retirement. So this is an important area of consideration for all investors, especially those who are looking at where they're positioned today and what might need to change as they approach and enter retirement. Now, from a simplified view, an asset allocation is the breakdown of your investment strategy. This is typically the amount of money you invest in stocks, bonds, and cash-like instruments, and to which, you know, how much you put in each of those categories. There's this kind of phrase in financial services that speaks to this truth of over 90% of your return will be determined by your asset allocation, not your security selection. Let me repeat that. Typically, over about 90% of your return will be determined by your asset allocation, not your security selection. So said another way, your breakout of stocks, bonds, and cash will have a huge impact over a long period of time on your expected rates of return. But I am not the expert in this space. That's why we have my colleague Josh Sterling on with us. He is our Director of Portfolio Management here at Kloss Financial. He leads a team of people who oversees a lot in many hundreds of millions of dollars of assets for our clients in various portfolios and asset allocations. So with that introduction, Josh, can you talk to us about what asset allocation means for investors and what they should expect?
Absolutely. And good question. I think to your comments earlier, a lot of people really get stuck up on which stock might be the best solution for me. And that's not necessarily the place that we start out with our clients. So we like to boil it down into something really, really simple. So we'll start off on that simple perspective here. And so it can be difficult to predict how stocks and bonds might work in the future, but we can look to the past for a little bit of guidance to kind of help us out on picking that appropriate asset allocation. So at that basic standpoint, stocks historically have outpaced bond returns when you look at long periods of time, although having a higher return doesn't come for free. Stocks tend to move around more significantly compared to bonds, especially in rough times. It's critical to be able to stomach the turbulence of the market if you have a significant amount in stocks. Bonds, however, on the other hand, tend to be more stable. It can be seen as a safer haven during turbulent stock markets. Bonds, in their most simplistic form, are simply promises to pay back what was borrowed. There are many types of bonds, like corporate bonds, home loans, and the U.S. government treasuries. These tend to have stability of principal while you earn coupon payments along the way. Bonds traditionally earn a lower return because of this than the stock market, but they may be wanted by those who don't want to weather the storm of the stock market.
Really good perspective this morning, talking with Josh Sterling and CJ Kloss. They are our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, the website klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And their telephone number is 608-442-5637. Don't forget, no charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their telephone number is 608-442-5637. Okay, since we're discussing kind of the differences between stocks and bonds, how do you use these investments when building out an appropriate portfolio, CJ?
In portfolios, we will split the proceeds and put some in stocks and some in bonds, depending upon somebody's risk tolerance. This creates diversification by using different investment types. The intention here is that when one zigs, the other zags, and it can help smooth out the overall investment process. Now, as I say this again, this is very high level, very simplified. The reality is Josh and I will sit around quite often and talk about not all bonds are created equal. Credit quality matters, terms matter, duration matters, interest rate volatility matters. There's actually a lot that goes into every single one of these broad asset allocations that we're talking about. But at a high level, just understanding that bonds are really designed to reduce volatility and provide a consistency of coupon payment, which often can support a retiree's income streams. So, full disclosure, in my own portfolio, by the way, I am 40 years old. If anybody's wondering, in my own portfolio, I have very little to no bonds. And so you might say, wait, I thought you just said that you put stocks and bonds in every portfolio. No, we put stocks and bonds in the appropriate allocation based upon somebody's time frame and risk tolerance and utilization of the money. But in my case, I have many years to retirement, Lord willing. And that just means that I want the power of what stocks can do over long arcs of time. Now, with that little kind of personal aside out of the way, in my experience as an advisor, as someone is preparing to invest, picking the right asset allocation can be important, but a tough step. Josh, what are some of the ways that people should look to build their asset allocation, especially as they head into retirement?
Well, to your point, picking the right allocation can be really challenging, but we should look at it as one of the most important steps to investing. And it's important to be in the right mindset when making this choice, being sure not to gloss over certain considerations. I like to compare this experience to simply buying a home. When we shop for a home, the first consideration typically isn't, we're going to go to see a movie next week, let's buy a home near there. You typically ask yourself a few more critical questions, something like, how long do we plan on living here? Do we have grandkids or family nearby? Or how many rooms should we have? Now, luckily, picking out an appropriate asset allocation isn't nearly as time-consuming or difficult. For most, the reason for investing is centered around helping to achieve our long-term goals. Too often, it can be easy to let temporary market turbulence either stop us from investing altogether or drive the decision of what asset allocation might be best. A lot of times you'll have market turbulence really discourage people from taking the risk that might be more appropriately aligned with what their goals might be. So because of this, it really is better to consider factors that are within your control, not necessarily what the market's doing right now, and let those factors that you can control align better with your long-term goals in investing, just like you would when buying a home.
You talk about kind of the, Josh, when you talk about things like your individual factors, and of course, this is very personal stuff. We're actually going to learn about each individual is very unique on this. We're going to talk about some of the typical questions that that are asked from an investor to find out asset allocations for their investments. We're going to do that in just a moment. In the meantime, if you haven't been to the website yet, head on over to KlaasFinancial.com. That's Klaas, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Great website. You can learn more about the team at Klaas Financial. Get to know CJ, Leah, Josh is up there as well. And of course, you can learn about more about the separate divisions at Klaas Financial, how they can help you, or if you're an employer, also a great opportunity to sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter that's available to you at KlaasFinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Their telephone number is 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaas Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number is 608-442-5637. More of Money in Motion with Klaas Financial comes your way next here on 1310 WIBA. Talking this morning with our retirement planning professionals from Klaas Financial, the website KlaasFinancial.com. That's Klaas, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. Great website, great resource. That's where you'll know that you can call Josh Sterling the Baker. If you've gone on over to KlaasFinancial.com, you can get to know the team at Klaas Financial. You can also, of course, learn more about them and subscribe to the web, their weekly Market Pulse newsletter and the podcast at KlaasFinancial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Klaas Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Talking this week about portfolios, building that portfolio, that right balance. And we left off talking about how this very individual. And Josh, as we're talking this morning, what are some of the typical questions that you ask an investor to kind of help them decide what that appropriate asset allocation for their investments might be?
Yeah, thank you, Sean. And I can tell you've been to our website. I've got a fun little photo on there, little cheesy, spicy buns that I like to make at home.
Nice.
So, but yeah, let's talk about some of the big questions that should be answered before you make the decision on how you're going to be investing. So first, I like to approach it with the first question, what is the money going to be used for? That's going to help you determine the purpose of investing, whether it's retirement, vacations, or schooling. It'll help you consider if you're going to be looking to pass on your wealth to family, charities, or if you want to spend it down to zero at the end of your life. Secondarily, how long until you're going to need to use the money? That's going to help you determine how long you have to invest. When identifying your time frame, it's just as important to consider beyond the event. For example, let's say you're going to retire in 5 years. So you will need to start using the money in 5 years, but people don't spend every single penny at that five-year mark. On average, investors and retirees are going to be using that money for more than 20 years once they hit that retirement date. So you have a long time frame to still invest in. It's why we tell all of our clients that we work with, plan for life after retirement and how you're going to use the money, and don't step off the gas with stocks. Make sure that you have some level of risk still in your investments. The final big question that we ask is around the risk that you're simply willing to take. If somebody's more conservative and really doesn't like to see the volatility in their portfolios, it's okay to step a little bit away from stocks, but it does need to work in tandem with your long-term goals. And so when you're thinking about risks, You want to consider times like the Great Recession or COVID and think about how comfortable you are experiencing the full swings of the markets during those times. If seeing your portfolio drop by a significant amount, think maybe 20 or 30%, if that worries you, it might be best to focus a little bit more on conservative allocations.
As Josh is talking through this, we often, well, and I'm just thinking of my own experience and when I got into the industry, risk just kind of is this word that we obviously in most circumstances try to avoid. And so, you know, we say, hey, you should keep some risk in your portfolio. And people go, no, I don't want risk in my portfolio. But truth be told, this concept of risk applies to your everyday life. When you decide to jump into your car to drive to work, you're taking on risk. When you decide to work for one employer over another, you're taking on risk. When you decide to put money under your mattress instead of the stock market, you're taking on a unique risk known as purchasing power risk. Just the simplistic view of risk that you need to understand is that you are taking on risk every single day in life and with your money. The question is, what risk can you tolerate and what risk will help you accomplish your goals? So don't, when you hear risk, don't have that kind of adverse reaction where you go, ah, I can't tolerate any of that. No. You're going to be taking it on. The questions are, what are they? What can you tolerate and what helps you meet your goals? But with that being said, after answering those kind of questions that Josh lined out there and considering your own risk tolerance, this should help to narrow the focus on how much you should invest in stocks, bonds, and cash. To be clear, I would offer this basic guidance. The longer you have to invest and the more comfortable you can be with dips in the market, the more you should put into stocks. Stocks are what have the potential to beat inflation over time. Some people may even have most of their portfolios in stocks, just like I mentioned, where almost all of mine is, in their 40s, maybe, or 30s, 40s, maybe even 50s, as they still have enough time to retire. Now, let's actually go a step beyond that. Sometimes people go, okay, I get it. You know, CJ's 40 years old. He's young, you know, is comfortable with the stock market, has most of his money in stocks. That's fine. But what I'm hearing you say, CJ, is that when I get to 65 or 70, I should have like little to no money in stocks. And this is what Josh was just saying earlier. Well, no, because when you get to retirement, you're not dying. You're living through retirement, hopefully 20, 30, 40 years of retirement. So you still need something inside of there that has the potential to beat inflation, which is typically stocks. Not to mention, we work with a lot of people who have been blessed in their lives to have what we call liquidity events and businesses, or did better with a small business than they realized, or work for the state and ended up having a pension and Social Security that was larger than they anticipated. And so their portfolios are, even though they're maybe 65 or 70, those portfolios are not invested for them. The portfolios are actually invested for their children and grandchildren. Let that sink in. So just because you get to your 60s or 70s doesn't mean that by definition you should have less in stock. Actually, what should drive your asset allocation is your risk tolerance, so your personal experience with that risk. And secondarily, a term we use is called your utilization of the dollars, or your need to use the dollars to generate income. If you have a high need for income off those assets or off those accounts, you probably need to reduce the risk. Or I shouldn't even say reduce the risk. You should probably have more in safe assets like bonds and cash to generate cash flow. But if you have no need for income off your portfolio as you enter retirement, there's a real world in which you keep a good portion of that in stock to invest it for the benefit of children and grandchildren. So as you can see, asset allocation, simple in concept, a little bit more complex in application.
That is for sure. And we're going to talk about, speaking of a complexity, things like drift. What is drift? We'll find out the details on that. We'll also do the Kloss Quiz Question Week. We'll do that next as Money in Motion continues. Don't forget about the website for Kloss Financial. It is KlossFinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S Financial.com. And they're telephone number 608-442-5637. More of Money in Motion with Kloss Financial comes your way next year on 1310 WIBA. Just moments away from the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, your chance to win a $25 gift card to Cabela's. We'll get to that in just a moment. Talking this morning with Josh Sterling and CJ Kloss, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, the website klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. So kind of left off that last segment talking about all of the different factors kind of weighing in, and there's way more than we could cover in the program, kind of that weigh into the decision making when it comes to putting together that portfolio. What about having a partner? And it's got to be a great thing to have a partner kind of work through some of the decision making process. But then once an investor is clear on the right asset allocations for themselves, what should they do then to maintain it over time?
That's a great question. And it can be a little complicated. It can be a little confusing. But an investor should review kind of their current life circumstances along with their retirement plans on a regular basis, whether that's semi-annual, annual at the very least. It's important to check in and ensure that your long-term goals haven't changed. I mean, if you've suddenly decided to retire 5 years earlier, that sounds like a pretty big life change, and you might need to adjust your allocation to reflect that change. In addition, over long periods of time, it's natural that your portfolio may drift because stocks could have higher returns than bonds and typically do. And you may need to determine that you need to rebalance your account back to target. Whether you trigger that on an annual basis or, hey, if it goes up this amount, we'll bring that back. That's something that we do here professionally on our money management team, and something that we monitor on a constant basis for our clients. But sometimes people ask how often they should check on their investments. And you should always have access and at least some oversight with your investments at all times. However, it's also important not to over-manage your investments by trading on them constantly, letting little things or news headlines control the way that you're addressing your portfolio. It's really critical to stick with your goals and avoid tweaking even when markets might not be in your favor, and it sounds like there's a lot of risk out there.
Talking this morning with Josh Sterling and CJ Kloss. They are retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. As we stare at screens all day, it's very important to stay focused and understand what the goal is and not monitor every little minute detail, that's for sure. Don't forget to learn more about Kloss Financial. Oh, they've got a great website. It is klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. CJ, I know that there's a ton of stuff to cover. As mentioned earlier, I think a lot of these shows, we could probably do a week's worth of programs specifically on one small little area of it. And I know there's a lot more when it comes to allocation. What are some of the things that we should be thinking about and know about when it comes to allocation as we head towards retirement?
Yeah, so this is where it gets tricky. Josh just mentioned, life changes. And so, it's kind of like when my wife and I decided to drive, or I was really, from Colorado. Well, let me take a step back. We used to live in Seattle, went to school in Seattle, Washington, at University of Washington, and then we were driving across the country. And in so doing, of course, we took out a map, and the map kind of gave us a sense, because yes, this was back in the day when there were paper maps, people. And it was like, well, I think based on speed and gas and stops and all that, I think we'll get back to the Midwest, about this time. But along the way, there was a storm. There was actually, we had to go over a mountain pass. And so that slowed us down quite a bit. One of us got a little bit sick. And so that slowed us down a little bit. And so we know this in life, don't we? Right? When you take out a map and you're going to drive across the country, you just know this. You go, yeah, well, we think we'll show up on Wednesday, but it might be Thursday, right? Mm-hmm. Well, retirement planning is no different. You're building a plan for the unknown future. That in and of itself, we should laugh at a little bit, right? It's kind of like, what? You're saying that you're going to predict the future? No. But like somebody driving across the country, you would never drive across the country not knowing which way is north, south, east, or west. You need a map. In a similar way, retirement planning is not predicting the future. It is rather building a reasonable map of what may occur and what you need to do to make your goals become a potential reality. But along the way, you must pause, you must look at what's happened, and you must make adjustments accordingly. So some factors you might want to consider when it comes to asset allocation as you're approaching retirement would be things like the presence of other what we call non-portfolio income sources above and beyond what your portfolio would supply. So this would be things like Social Security, pensions, a spouse's working income, or farming income, fixed annuities, single premium immediate annuities, so on and so forth. Because look, if you say are a state employee and you work there for 30, 40 years for the state of Wisconsin in some capacity, or you're a firefighter who has a pension, your pensions and Social Security can be, in many circumstances, enough for you to live very comfortably without needing any of your investments. So in those circumstances, your asset allocation could be very much impacted by that reality. But conversely, if you are a hardworking, self-employed individual who maybe ran a great business, but you didn't earn enough to set aside a bunch into a retirement account, so when you retire, it's basically just Social Security and the small amount you have in retirement accounts and maybe equity in your home. Well, listen, your asset allocation is going to look very different than the state workers. So there's something you should consider. Now, if those stable income sources will supply most of your income needed, then as I said, you could have a higher capacity for risk or maybe even investing the money for your children or grandchildren. And again, we really don't like these what we'll call big picture guidance. So some people will say, well, take 100 minus your age, and that'll tell you how much you should have in stocks. And we go, gosh, that may be true on average, but goodness gracious, that could completely mislead you. So I just want to be clear, there are good what we call rules of thumb that can point you in the right direction, but I will warn you, a rule of thumb is not meant to be acted on. It's meant to give you a sense of the size of the pool that you are swimming in and maybe the direction you should swim. It is not meant to be acted on. So that's actually kind of a good thing to leave off on here. Mm-hmm. Our goal in doing this show is to educate you as listeners on all the things that could impact your ability to retire and to guide you towards hopefully a successful retirement. However, you are on the air with thousands of other people listening at once, and therefore this is not personal financial planning guidance. And so, hear what we're saying, learn from what we're saying, up your IQ on what you need to be aware of. But at the end of the day, this should either drive you towards learning more yourself or towards a financial advisor or an accountant who can help you execute on your retirement plan.
Well stated, as always. CJ Kloss and, of course, Josh Sterling this week, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Today's the day. All you got to do is pick up the phone, give them a call, 608-442-5637. Don't forget, no charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. Want to hold on to that telephone number because it's time now for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this in just a moment. I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first correct answer, you win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Cabela's. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this. It's a fill-in-the-blank. Asset allocation in your portfolio is typically comprised of stocks, bonds, and blank. Telephone number 608-442-5637. First correct answer, win that $25 gift card to Cabela's. Don't forget as well, that's Kloss Financial's office here in Madison. Telephone number 608-442-5637 and the website KlossFinancial.com. That's Kloss, KLAAS Financial.com. CJ, Josh, it's always great chatting with both of you guys. Enjoy this beautiful day.
Thanks.
Thanks, Sean.
News is next here on 1310 WIBA.